So I would like to introduce our first speaker, a very good person. Liz M. from the Primary Purpose Group of Narcotics Anonymous. That's the Laurel Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Yes.
You're gonna kill it.
Hand it back to me. Liz, I'm an addict. Well, okay. I really wasn't nervous about this until this morning. I slept like 3 or 4 hours. I didn't think about this at all from the time Erica asked me till I woke up this morning. And I woke up and I'm like, shit. but I would, before I start, if you guys will help me reopen, I really need to get myself out of the way this morning. We'll say the Serenity Prayer if you guys don't mind. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference just for today. Thank you. I'd like to thank Erica and the committee for asking me to share. I've been to this retreat many times. I've served on this committee for the last couple years. This is the first year in a few that I haven't. And I've never spoke here. So this is a first for me. I'm excited and I'm honored to be asked. It's funny because I was kind of like, I don't know if I was bumming out, but it's just, it's been a different experience not being on the committee after the last couple years. And I love Laurel Mountain Highlands. I love NA. I love this event in particular. So I was like, oh, shucks, you know, like I can't serve the committee and then careful what you wish for, because I then got asked to speak, which is serving this committee in another way. So I got my wish. So when Erica asked me to speak, she told me that my topic was 1, 2, and 3, and I told Kevin, and he's like, oh, that one's easy. And I'm like, oh, 1, 2, and 3 was really tough for me and definitely still is. And to be honest, I've worked step one the most out of all of them, just solely based on the fact that I didn't stay clean. And like those foundation steps really just took me the longest to kind of grasp. I think I was like, I remember being on my 11th step, like formally writing on my 11th step and having to like circle back to 3, because I was like, I think I missed something, you know? And the first or even the second time that I like formally wrote on my first step, I really didn't have a hard time with it. The thing I had a hard time with was the concept of like honesty and surrender. Surrender felt like a weak thing to me, like waving the white flag. And to me, it felt like being like, hey, I'm not enough. Like, I can't do things by myself. And that didn't feel at the time like a weight lifted. It made me feel small, you know? But the concept of the first step, like by the time I got here and like stuck around a little bit, sorry, these bees are crazy. It was very evident that I was powerless over my addiction. It was very clear that my life was unmanageable when I put something in me. So the concept of just admitting that fact in relation to drugs and my usage and the chaos of my life wasn't that tough. So honestly, both times I'd like formally written on my first step, it wasn't that tough for me. I mean, being honest with myself and my sponsor was probably the hardest thing. But again, it was clear. You know, when I got here, my life was chaotic. I didn't have a lot of things. I'd hurt a lot of people. You know, I literally had like a garbage bag of clothes. So, you know, surely my using had something to do with that. And through like writing on it, it was, and just kind of, you know, existing while I was doing it, it became more clear too that I definitely played a part in that. You know, I was really stuck in the mindset that, like, I fully believed for a long time, even after doing my first step, that if everything else in my life would change, then I could be better. You know, like nothing was my fault. It's what I believed. I don't believe this now. Like my problem was my circumstances, and like if probation would get off my back and, you know, my family would talk to me and I could get my baby back, then I would have the space to do better. And that's just like not how it worked. You know, I really had to be honest with myself and admit the fact that like I had some work to do, and it started with me, which really showed itself when I moved on to 2 and 3. You know, I remember also, like, I'm gonna go a lot of different ways. I only slept a couple hours, guys. and my brain is scrambled. But every time I like formally wrote on a step, especially at the beginning, call it a lack of faith or call it, you know, happenstance or whatever, but I feel like I would experience something in my life that would like really drive the lesson home, you know. So like the first two times I wrote on my first step, again, I could admit that my life was unmanageable and kind of see why, but like some of the principles in step one, like acceptance and powerlessness and stuff like that, when I tried to apply it to other things, like it was really tough. And you know, my big lesson that I learned in writing on step one was I was like, yes, I'm powerless over my addiction. Yes, my life is unmanageable. There's a whole, that is like only one thing on a list, a very, very long, like very long list that I am powerless over, right? My big lesson was like other people. This lesson came to me in many forms. You know, I had a good friend at the time that went back out. This person kind of brought me to NA and helped pave the way for me and make it softer. Like, you know, she would introduce me to people and help me get numbers and things like that. And we were very close at the time. And like, you know, she started using again, and that drove me nuts. Like that really just killed me at the time. And that was like, I remember talking to my sponsor about it and being like, hey, like at the end of the day, like you're powerless over what other people are gonna do. Like what, you know, you just have to worry about what you can do, like serenity prayer kind of stuff, you know? And I was like, oh. It's like learning the lesson in real time, like never feels good. So eventually, you know, as we do, I moved on to step two. I really wasn't sold on the, I had like a higher power complex when I got here. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. I find that very relatable when I hear people talk about that. I didn't have a good relationship with God, and I wasn't really sold on the idea of any of that. And again, you think about surrender, like I could surrender to certain ideas and things that I believed, but you know, surrendering my will over and stuff was not, it just didn't really feel good. And I remember my sponsor at the time, same woman, telling me like I just basically was overthinking step two. I still overthink on a lot of things, but I didn't really necessarily have to do anything, right? You know, I came, and we broke it down like this. Like, you came, you showed up to NA, you came to, the fog lifted a little bit. Then you come to believe, right? And that's how she explained it to me. I could grasp that concept at the time. And it helped me. And then it was like, so what do? You know, I formally write and I'm waiting to feel something, waiting to feel different, waiting for, you know, the clouds to part. And she was like, that's it. You just believe that you can get better. And I was like, oh, that I'm sold on, you know. I must have been, because I kept coming and I stayed, you know, and I was working on steps and was trying to do things, right? I also worked, formally wrote on step two a second time at the beginning, because again, I didn't stay clean. So I got another look, is what I like to say. But I could do that. You know, I was sold on that idea that all I had to do was believe that I could get better, that things could improve if I did like a few simple things that I was suggested. You know, like go to meetings, talk to my sponsor, write on steps, you know, try not to be a complete asshole, and do not pick up no matter what. I was like, okay, you know, sold. And I did believe I could get better because I looked around the rooms and, you know, other people around me seemed to be better than me. That's how I felt. They were happier and they had more things that I wanted. And they also talked about like the despair and the depravity of using, like kind of, I was closer to that feeling than I was to feeling good. So I was like, okay, you know, I had a little flicker of hope that could happen for me too. And honestly, maybe a little bit of like tangible evidence behind that too, because things did improve a little bit, even by the time I was writing on two, you know, like first and foremost, I wasn't waking up like dope sick every day. I wasn't in jail anymore. I was getting to see my kid. You know, I like made a couple friends, like that was huge for me. I had nothing before I came here. So like that little stuff was like really big blessings for me. So I was like, okay, great, sold. And then three, I hit a wall on three because God complex pops up. and you know, my sponsor now, like in retrospect, we've talked about a lot of this stuff, of course. And, you know, she told me, not in regards to these steps, I think it was something I had mentioned about four, like feeling like I'd missed something and I'd not done the best job that I could do. And she like stopped me mid-sentence and was like, well, like you did the best that you could do at the time. If you were honest with yourself, you were honest with God, like the things that were revealed to you at that time is probably all you needed. And I was like, oh, okay, thank God. You know, I don't need to be hard on myself. But yeah, three was tough. I remember going to Start to Live. It was probably, I think it was the first year they moved it to Erie. Also, that really doesn't matter. Every workshop I went to at that convention, I don't know if they call them workshops there, it just was like, you know, I went and I'm like praying for what I need to hear. And then the whole weekend I heard a bunch of shit I didn't want to hear. It's all about God. And I was like, ah, oh, damn it. And I remember driving home from that and literally like calling my sponsor who I'd just been with and being like, I think I'm missing something. Like, I don't think I get this. I don't think I understand. I don't think I understand my higher power. I don't have it figured out. And I don't think I'm ready to move on. Like, I just am scared. I was fearful. And, again, she stopped me, talked me off the ledge and was like, the point is not to try to figure it out. And I was like, oh. She was like, if you absolutely feel so inclined to, you may go back and do steps one and two again, you know? But I don't think that's what you need. You know, I think it's just a lack of faith, right? And we broke that one down too. The third step for me, the only way I could digest it is like a four-part thing compartmentalized in my brain. We made a decision. Boom. Step one. Okay, make a decision. At the time, I thought I was only going to do that once. So once I did it that first time, I was like, check. To turn our will and our lives, both. Not just what's going on in my life, but also what I want, right? The things I want, the things I think I need, those also need to be turned over. Okay, a little bit tougher. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives. Over to the care of God, okay? I wasn't really so interested in that part, but literally I heard someone say somewhere like your higher power could be a doorknob on the door at the meeting as long as you believe that it's loving, caring, and greater than you. I'm like, whatever, the doorknob then, I guess. you know, your higher power can be the group. And I'm like, okay, that is a power greater than me. A bunch of addicts like me all together and like we're staying clean. That is pretty powerful. It was different every day. It was very fluid. That still is a very fluid thing for me, my understanding of my higher power. Thankfully, today it's a lot stronger. But yeah, so that part, okay, sold enough. Over to the care of God. As we understand him, that kind of ties in with the last one, right? Didn't matter what it was. Wasn't even necessarily my job to figure out. Whatever it looked like for me at the moment is what was going to work, right? And that was that. That was my foundation. And, you know, I felt pretty good about it. I remember feeling good that I'd even done that much. Like, that was a huge, you know, commitment isn't, like, my strongest. I had no experience in, like, maintaining, keeping commitment. So the fact that I did 1, 2, and 3 and then went on to 4 and didn't get high this time was, like, amazing, right? And, again, like what I talked about with my sponsor now, I feel like maybe my understanding wasn't the best. It's definitely not as strong as it was, as it is now. But I think I did the best that I could do at the time. And I believe that because I went on to write on the rest of them. And even when I got to 11 and I had to go back and be like, God, who are you? I made it, right? I figured some shit out. And all was good. And I felt really good about the fact I had never, ever, ever kept a commitment. Not to bring in the other 9 steps. I'm only talking about the first 3. But I'd never kept, like, a commitment. I've never made a commitment and kept it the whole way through the end. That massive. Like, that was massive for me. Is like, formally writing on all 12 steps. I never thought I could do that when I had 30 days clean. Or when I had, like, 6 days clean. And I was going back to redo step 1 that has 69 questions in the step working guide. Like, I couldn't even fathom completing something that big, right? So when I finished writing on all of them, my sponsor now, we discussed, you know, I'd done a little bit of writing on traditions and talked about concepts a little bit because, you know, I do a lot of service at area and stuff like that. I wanted to get, you know, and to take another look at this stuff, and I felt like I had a really good base to try to just do something different. You know, I wanted to learn more about traditions, and I wrote on tradition one, and shit in my life started to go haywire. I won't like bore you guys too much, but you know, last year I it was a rough year, and I'm calling my sponsor and I'm just upset a lot, and she's like, why don't we go back to steps 1, 2, and 3? So when I went back and rewrote on them, we did it another way. You know, I had formally written out of the step working guide. I think that was great for me at the time, and I wanted to do something different. So I got in the basic text, and I got in the it works, how, and why, and kind of wrote on them collectively, and really took my time to try to do it because I wanted another look, right? I wanted to get a deeper understanding on this stuff because I feel like, you know, I was in a better place to try to grasp some of these concepts. And thank God we stopped and did that. You know, my understanding of the first three steps now versus when I did them the first time and the second, it's like two completely different things. I could have never grasped what it means to me today 7 years ago. I just wasn't there, you know. Aside from like the drugs and the usage and all that stuff, I realized that there's just a lot of things that I can still apply this to. Like, this isn't just the foundation of my recovery. Like, 1, 2, and 3 is the foundation for my life, right? Like, there's many, many things I'm powerless over. There's many things I have to practice acceptance on and surrender. I still need God. I still need to turn my will over. I still need to make a decision, not once, every day sometimes. Sometimes, like, more than once in the same day, right? And it was like, whoa, right? And this is what I wanted. I remember finishing 12 and being like, I'm excited to go back and give this another look to see what it's like now, right? Felt like it was going to be this nice, fun, fluffy thing. And shit started hitting the fan. You know, my mom was real sick and I was real busy. And my life felt like it was just out of control. I'm clean, you know, 6 years clean. And my life felt unmanageable, AF. And it didn't feel good. And I feel like, why is it like this? I did everything I was supposed to do, and I wrote on the steps, and I sponsored people, and I talked to my sponsor, and I try not to be an asshole, and why do I still feel like my life is out of control, you know? And I just thank my sponsor so much, and like my higher power, that like I did that. I formally wrote on these steps again at that time, you know. I was really able to apply it to kind of the stuff that was going on in my life. Big lesson, and I'm powerless over other people, right? I'm powerless over what they think about me. I'm powerless over their opinion of me, and quite frankly, it really doesn't fucking matter. I'm powerless over the shit that was going on around me, right? Not just with the people and the things, but like my mom. That was so heavy for me because I had a couple years clean and a little bit of experience, and I am just like swimming uphill fighting this situation because I'm not ready to let go, you know? Not ready to surrender to the situation, not ready to let her go, and I'm fighting with myself, really. Driving myself crazy. I'm fighting with the hospital, and we're fighting with the nursing home, and we're showing up there, and he's showing up there, and it was crazy. It was like insanity, you know? And I remember like formally like sitting down, because I was getting to a point where I didn't know what else to do. I felt so chaotic and just unspiritual inside for many reasons that I was like backed into a corner. I'm either going to suffer real heavy, I'm going to try to do something about it, and the only thing I knew what to do besides like talk to y'all, call my sponsor, was like write on it. And it really helped me out a lot. It really helped me get a lot of my feelings out. It helped me come to a place of acceptance. You know, a lot of the fighting was me fighting with myself because I wasn't ready to accept situations for what they were. I didn't want to turn my will over because I just wasn't ready to let go of some shit. And, you know, I'm not here to tell you that any of that stuff felt good, but it was necessary, and I did feel relief when I was able to get to a point that I was, you know, I could believe that things were eventually going to get better, right? I knew that this situation wasn't going to continue to go on, and I hate to harp on, like, this part. It's still a little fresh. My mom passed away in November. I'm not going to cry. This is, like, really the first time I talked about it on a group level. But, you know, when I think about rewriting on steps 1, 2, and 3, that's, like, all I can think about. Because it really, really helped me out and to get through that situation. And that was a huge reservation for me when I got here, because I knew that that was coming. My mom was sick my whole life. But, you know, step 2, I believe that I knew it didn't feel good, and I knew that I was going to get through it. I knew eventually that, you know, I could get better. I couldn't see what that looked like, but I knew we were going to get there, you know? And 3, again, was the toughest one for me, because I just had to, like, keep making a decision to, like, turn the shit over, right? There was a lot of other stuff going on, too, and, you know, my feelings were hurt. I felt small. I didn't know if I wanted to keep coming to NA because I didn't feel welcome, and all this stuff compiled on to, you know, the other actual big issue that I had that made that stuff kind of more insignificant. But, you know, when I talked about, like, making a decision over and over and over and over, like, I did that a lot, sometimes in the same day. And, you know, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I don't know how much time I have. I want to share it with my buddy, so I don't want to take up too much. So, you know, stop me if I need to. But, you know, I remember, yeah, I bet. I remember when I, like, finally got to that place of surrender, okay? It happened when I first got here. Well, not when I first got here. It happened right before I got clean for real. Like, hit your knees, pray. God, I don't know what else to do. I don't want to keep using. Please help me. You know, prayer was answered. And I've had situations like that a couple more times. The most recent one was just this stuff with my mom. It was just really fucking heavy. And I remember, like, sitting in my vanity in my room, just, like, getting ready to go see her and just, like, praying. Not even for what I wanted anymore. That's how I knew I was ready, because I wasn't praying for the thing that I wanted. I was praying for the thing that I thought we needed. And then the next day, I drove to, was it Monroeville? Murraysville. Doesn't matter. One of those two towns. They're, like, the same to me. To meet my sponsor, to go over my first 3 steps. And I'm there with her, and we have all these great discussions, and it was amazing. It was just like I thought it would be. I felt like I had this deeper understanding, and I felt, like, really secure in the work that I was doing and good with myself. And I literally got the call while we were there going over steps 1, 2, and 3 from the hospital that she just was, like, not doing good. That was Saturday, and, like, it was time, right? Come back, go to the hospital. The night was rough. And then the next day, you know, that's it. And I'm not saying that I don't think I'm powerful enough to, like, change the course of anyone's history, but I think that, you know, maybe my higher power was just looking out for any of us in that situation when I just, like, prayed, like, my most honest, vulnerable prayer to stop, like, trying to get what I wanted and just getting what we needed, you know? And then, you know, my mom passed away on Monday. And of course, that was sad. It was awful. I miss her a lot, you know? I also have way more free time now because I don't have anyone to take care of. Not to that extent. But I don't know what I would have done if I just wasn't in the space that I was in when that happened. You know what I mean? And many, many things go into that. I got to do 8 and 9. We got to make amends. I got to show up like I never showed up before. And, you know, all that stuff was great. I'm very grateful for that. But I'm just so grateful that I was able to, like, really, like, practice acceptance over a situation and, like, be okay with it, you know? And Narcotics Anonymous gave me that. Like, I could never, you know, and I talked about not wanting to be here, not wanting to show up, and I walk in the room, sometimes I don't want to hug anyone, because I'm like, do you like me anymore? You know, I don't know. But I could never not do that. Like, I owe Narcotics Anonymous way too much to let that stupid shit get in the way. Like, I will never, ever be able to repay the fact that I was able to, like, be there and be okay with something so massive, something that was so huge that I was like, if this happens, I'm using 100%. And Narcotics Anonymous like gave me the space to be okay. And I'm forever grateful for that. So I will walk in the room and I will hold my head high and I will hug you and I will speak if I'm asked to speak and I will not like it. But I will do it because it's for Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life. I could never repay what it's done for my life. My life's gotten, I've had a smooth year after last year. I paid my dues. This year has been amazing. Life is good, exciting things happening, got engaged, like get to see all my friends do cool shit, love them so much. It's been a really nice year of flowing after the ebb. I don't know which is which, last year bad, this year good, you know. And I'm really grateful, you know, because in knowing what I know, like I know that more things will come. And like this is, I don't always, I'll kind of end with this because I'm running out of things to say, but I don't always practice faith like the good old addict way, like just blindly, right? Sometimes I need a little proof. Sometimes I need a little tangible evidence to like fully be on board. That's what happened when I got here. Kind of believed it, but like I needed a little something. Maybe someday I'll practice blind faith. It is not today. But you know, this whole situation, the whole last year of my life really gave me the proof that I need. That like this shit works, that I will be okay, that when more things come up, like I have the knowledge and the tools and the experience to apply to my life. It's not just about using drugs to like, not only just like get through it, but like, I don't know, grow through it, I guess. And yeah, that shit's cool. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank you guys for listening. I'm going to turn over the microphone to my good buddy. And that's all I have. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Troy M. from 24 Principles for 24 Hours, also from the Lamahana area.
Woo! That was good. Hi, I'm Troy and I'm an addict. I just want to thank Liz for speaking, sharing her experience, strength, and hope. She was really on fire there. I didn't want to stop her and let, you know, I just wanted to keep letting her roll. It really is an honor and a privilege to be able to speak here because I've sat, for the past 3 years, I've sat in the seats and I've looked up here and I can never visualize myself being up here in a position to actually have anything worthwhile to say. You know, it's funny because I'm in college and I was talking to my professor who has like a doctorate and stuff. And I told her I was going to speak one time and she's like, do you have a script? I was like, nope. She's like, oh my God, that sounds awful. You know, because she just has it planned and stuff. And I've just come to the conclusion that like, the stuff that happens here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is not able to be understood. I don't care like what level of degrees you have, like, you know, what schooling you go through. If you're not like a part of this and you don't grow through this, you can't understand it. You know, like you can see it and see what it does, but man, it's just done so much for me. So I got a hoodie. I got a hoodie. I was here early enough for a hoodie, you know, never. Cause I was always 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And I'd show up at Saturday to just stay for the main speaker and then leave. And then I like wonder why I kept messing up and I kept relapsing, you know, like someone else. I had to work step 1, 2, and 3 multiple times before I ever advanced to step 4. And I realized the importance of that because step 1, 2, and 3 is the foundation for the rest. Because now that I'm further in the steps, I realize how much I actually use those more than just that one time. Because I was like, okay, step 1, done. I don't need it no more, you know? Step 2, done. Cool, next one. I don't need it no more. You know, but now it's like a daily thing. Any situation that I come across, if I apply these in my affairs, I cannot go wrong and I cannot fail through Narcotics Anonymous. So step 1, we I'm going to stop right there, because I've never been a part of a program. I've never been a part of a we. I've never had a we. You know, it's always just been me. Me through everything, you know. But these steps, just hearing that, now when I hear it, you know, it just makes me feel good. I'm not the only one doing this. There's a lot more people doing this. We are doing this. And that gives me hope, you know. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction and our lives are becoming manageable. I don't know about anybody else, but I can never admit anything. It was just denial. Let me use on the weekend. I like always just thought if I made some little tweak, I could go back and handle the same situation and expect a different outcome. And that honesty piece comes a long way now, because I'm able to admit when I'm wrong. I'm able to admit when a situation is no good for me. Before, I just stuck around until way past the expiration date, and then it started causing harm in my life, causing harm to me. But now when I talk to my sponsor, I'm able to admit. And if something happens and I have to ask myself, am I able to tell my sponsor this? Am I able to admit this to my sponsor? And if I were like, no, I want to hide this from him and I don't feel comfortable admitting it to him, I don't do it anymore. You know, I have that power to step back. I'm not powerless anymore over my addiction, you know, because I finally learned that addiction is not just the drugs. And I know we hear that all the time, but that was groundbreaking stuff for me. You know, when I realized that there was so much more to addiction than just the drugs. And I've never had no power over them. I've never had no power over my emotions, my defects and stuff. They just run rampant. And I was like, this is me. This is me. I'm fucked. You know, sorry about my language. I'm screwed. with like no hope of ever changing. But the humility of just like admitting that, you know, that opens the door for change. And I'm just so grateful for it. Sorry, I'm like nervous. Thanks. Yeah, man, just to have some type of power back in my life and to be able to not go down the rabbit holes and like see red flags and just step away from them and change as a person. Like, say a relationship that I got out of, you know, when the circumstances are the same and I end up feeling bad, so I end up stepping away from the relationship, right? But then I'm lonely and I'm like, you know what, maybe it was me. Maybe if I just go back and try it this way, you know, I can make it different. Or a job that causes me stress and runs me ragged and that I get away from. And then I look back and I'm like, well, man, that money was really nice. You know, I'm able to step away from that stuff and realize that I don't have control over it. You know, I don't have control over them circumstances whenever I live in them. Step two, I came to believe a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. What's better, one horsepower or two for a motor? You know, two horsepower is better for me. And that's what I had to realize, is that the power greater than myself was just me talking to somebody. When I was going through something tough and I was just calling people, I was calling people. And I called someone that I actually met through listening to the Lamahana speakers on the event website. I was talking to him and he's like, you realize what step you're applying right now? And I was like, no, I don't. He's like, you're applying step two, you know, because I'm trying to use this power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. Because that insanity for me is just like this like tornado, you know, I'm like so wrapped up in it and I'm like honed in on it and I can't see anything else. You know, and when I didn't have a Wii, I stayed in there till I hit something really hard that couldn't move. Jails, institutions, or death. You know, and working this program is great. because now, like, I have a sane way of thinking. My life is more manageable. I, like, never even checked my mail, you know? I, like, never had a stable mail address to check. And, like, now, like, I, like, pay my bills on time. I'm a father to my daughter. Step three. Made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God as we understood him. God for me is my gut. You know, when I like go into a situation and it doesn't feel right for me, it's probably not right for me. And sometimes I get like real like fixated on stuff. I like want a house, you know, because like I have an apartment now, and then I wanna upgrade to a house. So then I shop on my phone and stuff, and I like look and I'm like, well, I like probably could like make it happen and stuff, and that's like me wanting it on my time and not just trusting the process. Like there was like a real weird thing going on with the car that I was driving. I was just making the payments, but it wasn't under my name. You know, I wasn't being fully self-sufficient. I was still like tied into someone else. And my God like speaks through me through like other people, you know, and that's why it's like really important on who I choose to let in. Because I feel like they're little like cue cards, you know, when I'm like supposed to do something, if I'm listening for it. So someone that like I highly look up to in the rooms was like, me and we're talking and he's like, hey, I think it's time that you look into getting your own car. I was like, that's a, you know what? Yeah. You know, so I like took that. That's God to me. You know, because me, I just want it now. Man, I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous because these speaker retreats have done so much. When I was going through a hard time, I like just dove in and really like just went through them what I needed and when I needed. You know, I'm freezing up. I really don't know what to say, guys. I don't know. I guess that's it, because I don't. Sorry.